Some of you I have known for many years, like Dr. Parama G. How many years? Were you here for the opening in Utenek? Then I've known you at least 30 years plus, I think, yeah, some years before. I first came through PE, I think it was 1983. So I know there's so many nice devotees here who are very Krishna conscious and who value and appreciate Krishna consciousness greatly, and who value and appreciate Srila Prabhupada. So our program this evening is essentially to glorify, or mainly at least to glorify Srila Prabhupada, and tomorrow to glorify the deities and welcome or re-welcome Shishi Nitai Gaura Sundar back. They went on holiday to Durban. Durbs. People like to go on a holiday to become refreshed. So they went to Durban, and you'll see when they come, they have come back refreshed. Yes. Very nice. So it's a two-part program. Tomorrow, of course, is... we're starting in the afternoon. Is it? What is it? 3 o'clock? Is it?
Yes.
3 o'clock? 3 o'clock? I know it may be a working day for some of you, but don't worry about that. Just take the time off. And if they ask you why, tell them you are sick. I'm not suggesting dishonesty. What you say is, I am sick of working. That's a bona fide form of sickness. I'm sick of working. And we have a nice transcendental program to go to. So you do that. Plus, I think many of you will be on holiday anyway because it's Christmas time. So what we will do now then is we will recount some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Many of those pastimes, they are, you could say, demonstrations of the teachings. Because Srila Prabhupada is known as the founder Acharya, or in Sanskrit, Samstapak Acharya. Yes. And with particular emphasis in this context on the term Acharya, there is Achar, and I do not mean, you know, like Paco. Achar. There is Achar, means activities, and there is Prachar, means teachings, or sort of preachings, really, prachar. So, Srila Prabhupada is known as, and he himself presented himself as, Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. By acha, by activity, and not just by pracha, speaking or preaching, although of course he also did that so much he did that. But particularly, and there's great significance in this idea of acharya, one who teaches by example. In other words, one whose activities are demonstrations of the teachings in action. They're the teachings in action, in real life. And you can learn so much from that. In other words, not just some nice words, but then the activities are something different. So this is Srila Prabhupada. So let us then recount some pastimes. Let us begin with one pastime of Srila Prabhupada from Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Dham in Bengal, from the very early days when our movement was just becoming established in India. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur. Mayapur is the place of appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And actually our international headquarters is there, although in those days it was just in a very rudimentary type of state. There was just one building. At that point, it was sort of early to mid-70s. Srila Prabhupada was up on the roof of that, at that time, one building, looking around Mayapur, looking around the area. If you have been there, you would know it is quite flat. It is quite flat. So you can see for some distance quite uninterrupted. It is also very beautiful because it's tropical. It's Bengal, West Bengal. And it's tropical. It's very green and very lush. And it also, Mayapur has very nice tranquil atmosphere. Not a lot of people generally. Not a lot of all the honking and the noises and the trucks and all that. It's quite rural. So Srila Prabhupada was up on top of that building, looking out with two or three of his disciples with him. And Srila Prabhupada said that this Mayapur, it is so beautiful. It is so outstanding. And the atmosphere is so spiritual and just uplifting. Prabhupada said, it is so wonderful. In the future, many people will come here and they'll be touched, they'll be moved by this place. And Prabhupada said, so, we want to develop this place, so that the people will come, and when it's developed nicely, suitably, they'll be very impressed. It'll really make an impression. And Prabhupada said, yes, Mayapur is just so wonderful. It is so wonderful. But this material world is so horrible. It is so horrible. Yeah. But Mayapur is so wonderful. But this material world is just so horrible. And Prabhupada said, I did not want to come here. I did not want to come here. Means, not to Mayapur, to the material world. I did not want to come here. But Krishna told me, you must. The people need your books. You must present your books. And Prabhupada said that I told Krishna that this place is so horrible. I just don't want to come. And Prabhupada said, but Krishna said, you must come. They need your books. Without your books, they have no real future. There's no real possibility of them being saved. They'll simply be lost in this world. So in other words, Srila Prabhupada is not even amongst devotees are special, but it is not even that just amongst the devotees Srila Prabhupada is special, but Srila Prabhupada is very, very special in that he was personally sent by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna himself to come on his behalf, establish his mission for the benefit of the people who otherwise, well, what can you say? If Donald Trump is elected president of America, it must be Kali Yuga. Anyway, we are not political also. But yes, Srila Prabhupada is a special empowered personality sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, because he's such a special empowered personality, like a direct assistant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore Srila Prabhupada was and even is to this day so powerful, so influential. He has had such a massive impact on the world, giving Krishna consciousness as it is, not just some watered down version just to appeal to the people, you know, the Kali Yuga people who are not really very deep in their thinking, and their habits generally are anywhere from bad to terrible. This is Srila Prabhupada, such an extraordinary personality, and who had such an extraordinary impact on this world, and continues to do so. So, Srila Prabhupada in London, you know, I joined this movement in London, January the 7th, 1973, I joined, but Srila Prabhupada came to London first in 1969, and then he would come not just every year, because London, particularly in those days, maybe still today, it was a real crossroads between India, Southeast Asia, and America, you know, the headquarters of the Western world. So Prabhupada would come through quite regularly, and Prabhupada one time in 1972, means just before I joined, so I was not personally present, Srila Prabhupada, we had a temple, our first temple in the UK was in London. It was quite a small place, in a street named Berry Place, just next to the British Museum. And Srila Prabhupada was giving class there one time in front of, if you can just picture a little perhaps, if the deities are right here where this blue backdrop is, Prabhupada's Vyasa-san was right here. It was quite a small temple room. It was smaller than this tent we're in. So he could practically put his hand out and touch the deities, Radha, London, Ishvara. So, but, and he was sitting on a bit more of an angle than me, sort of a little more, kind of 45 degrees from the deities, something like that. And there are all the devotees there. So Srila Prabhupada had given a class, and he finished, but everyone was still sitting there, and he was still sitting there. And he looked at the deities for maybe even 1 minute. And he started to become somewhat emotional. And the devotees could see. And then Srila Prabhupada turned to the devotees and said, "I have captured Krishna. I have captured Krishna. And I'm holding him here. Please come and get him." So again, this gives us a glimpse. It's deep. It gives us a glimpse into Srila Prabhupada's relationship with Krishna, that he's not just even a very advanced devotee, more advanced than others, although certainly he was. But actually he has a special relationship with Krishna, which he was situated in. So, and his mission, his mood was to give Krishna, to everyone. Another time in London, when I was there, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, you may have heard of that, it was donated to Srila Prabhupada and his movement by George Harrison, of the one time of the Beatles, very prominent person in the youth culture of the 60s and 70s and so on. So I remember being there one time in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and Srila Prabhupada again was giving a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, and to this day, if perhaps some of you have been there even, you would know, if, say, this is the temple room, the deities, Radha Gokulananda, are at that end. Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan is at this end, just facing directly down towards the deities. And we would sit, when Prabhupada was there, we would sit not with our backs to the deities. We would actually sit facing, as you're sitting there, facing into the center. And on this side, as Gaurasundara Prabhu and Parameshwar Prabhu are doing, seated, facing into the center from the other side. And Prabhupada's there, Radha Gokulananda are there. And we're all sitting there, looking into the center, but looking back now at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he had finished singing Jai Radha Madhava. He was looking at Radha Gokulananda. And Srila Prabhupada, in a very down-to-earth way, you could say, matter-of-fact way, Srila Prabhupada looking at the deities, and we're looking at him. Everyone's just looking at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Radha and Krishna are dancing very happily this morning." Everyone's looking at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that. Everyone turned and looked at the deities to see if they were dancing very nicely. And everyone saw that Radha and Krishna were, in fact, as far as we could see, standing there as usual. But someone on the transcendental platform sees differently. They see differently. They can actually see the Lord and interact with him directly. And this was Srila Prabhupada. One time, again, it was just shortly before I actually joined, although we heard about it afterwards. A little later when I had joined. Srila Prabhupada was being driven through London. to a program or something. And right in the center, pretty much, of London, what they call the West End, is Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace, the residence of the royal family. And there's a road which goes straight down, and then goes around Buckingham Palace. Goes kind of straight, almost to the entrance, and then around. So the devotees are driving Srila Prabhupada. There's, you know, two or three or four devotees in the car with him. They're going down, and then they see, there's Buckingham Palace down the end. And one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, you know what? One of the guards from Buckingham Palace has become a devotee." Hari Bol, you know, with the big black hats, you know, red uniforms, all that, marching up and down. "One of the guards has become a devotee." Yes, he's a guard from Buckingham Palace. This is very significant. He's an important person. And Srila Prabhupada, again, very matter of fact. Prabhupada sometimes had a dry sense of humor. Wow. Prabhupada, very dryly, this devotee saying, "Yes, very important fellow, and it's significant, and he became a devotee." And Srila Prabhupada said, "And what about the Queen?" Not yet. Anyway, they didn't say that, but that's the fact. Not yet. Although she has received prasadam on number of occasions, met devotees on a number of occasions, attended an arati ceremony at one of our Avanti schools in, I guess, in London somewhere. Whole arati ceremony, she was there. Anyway, yes, and what about the Queen? Prabhupada once, well, actually on many occasions, after he had given his morning class, his morning lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was staying in Berry Place, central London. After he would go up, and sometimes he would listen to a recording of the lecture. And one devotee, his name actually is Tribhuvanath Prabhu, unfortunately he passed away. Very nice disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who I knew very, very well. Tribhuvanath walked in, and there's Prabhupada listening to his lecture. And Tribhuvanath asked him, "Prabhupada, why are you listening to your lecture?" And Prabhupada said, "Because it is not me speaking. It is Krishna speaking, yes. Therefore I enjoy listening to these things." And he would often read his books, and he was asked exactly the same question, "Why are you reading your books?" And he responded in exactly the same way, "Because they are not my books. They're spoken by Krishna." So Srila Prabhupada, very special personality. Let's see. Okay, let me tell you another thing from my own experience. When George Harrison first gave Bhaktivedanta Mana, Srila Prabhupada came shortly after, some weeks later perhaps, something like that. And stayed for some weeks to see how everything was going on, and you know, to instruct the devotees and how to run the place, because it's a big place and it's a very beautiful place and a very significant place. and given by this extremely prominent person, so things had to be done nicely. So, Srila Prabhupada, yes, he gave in the mornings, he was giving Bhagavad Gita class. Not Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And I remember being there one morning. I was staying in the temple in central London, Bury Place, but sometimes we'd come out to hear Prabhupada give class. So one time we were there. And the temple president from our temple in Edinburgh, Scotland, he asked Prabhupada a question at the end of the class. He said, Srila Prabhupada, in our temple, we have many rats. Is it all right if we kill the rats? Srila Prabhupada's answer was, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. I was sitting right there. But the president didn't get it. He just didn't catch it. So he asked the same question again, but he elaborated a little further that Srila Prabhupada, there are many rats there. It is an old building. It is 300 years old. And the rats have been there, you know, and they're dirty. They're dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada, is it all right if we kill the rats? And Prabhupada answered, if you kill the rats, you should be killed. So don't ask me what to do if you have cockroaches at home. That's me speaking. All right. But we, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, we had no rats. It's also an old building, actually. I don't know if it's 300 years, but it's an old building. Parts of it are very old. And we had no rats. Hari Bol. We had mice. And we had so many mice, you would not believe it. You would not believe it. There was just hundreds of mice. And if you walked into a room, any time of any day, a room where there's no one inside, if you walked into that room, you would have to see a gang of mice doing their thing. And during the Mangal Arati, early in the morning, the mice, listen to this, devotees, the mice would be dancing on the altar. Seriously. Every time they would be dancing on the altar. And we chase them off the altar and go back to continue offering the arati, and they'd be back dancing on the altar. It was amazing. So it was taken to Srila Prabhupada. We have no rats, we have mice. What to do? And Srila Prabhupada said, the mice are here because there is food. The mice are not here because they like your company. They are here for food. So Prabhupada said, what you must do, you must keep this place so clean. There is just no food for them at all, and then they will go. They'll just go, of course. So we had a team of devotees, like four or five devotees. It was their only duty to clean Bhaktivedanta Manor. And they would just go around and finish and go around again. Every day, four or five times, they would clean the entire building, where it was clean. It was just completely clean. But the mice stayed. And we thought, maybe they were devotees in their previous lifetimes. And they are here because they like our company. And we didn't know what to do. So you know what we did do? We got a cat. And you know what we named the cat? Nrisinga Devi. Was a female. And after just some days, not a long time at all, within a week, there were hardly any mice around. And Nrisinga Devi was becoming quite, as we say in Durban, quite healthy. In other words, a bit plump. And occasionally, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but occasionally we'd find mouse pieces lying around here. Anyway, it's okay. So, that's a little history. Let's see now. Okay. I was in darshan, one of Srila Prabhupada's darshans once, or a few times actually, but one time in particular was very striking in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I think it was 1974. And Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada, interesting question. You see, in Nectar of Devotion, if you've read Nectar of Devotion, very important book, there is one chapter called Offenses to be Avoided. It's approximately chapter 8 or 9 or something like that. Offenses to be avoided. And there's all these different, there's three lists actually of offenses to be avoided. The first two are kind of very general offenses, like just the very first one is, it is an offense to enter the temple room wearing shoes or being carried on a palanquin. You know, I have my doubts any of you would enter being carried on a palanquin, but shoes might be a possibility. So, you know, it's not to be done. So there are two lists. Then there's a third list. The third list is what are called the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names. And they're much more serious. And this devotee, he read a couple of sentences from there. You can look it up and have a look. Prabhupada says that if you commit any of the offenses from the two first lists, kind of more general offenses, then the reactions will be removed just by your ongoing practice of devotional service. You don't need to do anything to overcome reactions for these offenses. But Prabhupada says, if you commit any of the 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names, those offenses begin with to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy names of the Lord. Anyway, Prabhupada says, if you commit any of them, you cannot overcome the reactions. That's quite a statement, isn't it? So this devotee read that out to Srila Prabhupada and then said, but Srila Prabhupada, isn't there some way we can overcome those reactions? Prabhupada gave him one of his looks. Prabhupada had a way of looking at people, you know, when he was not pleased with something they'd said or done. Very penetrating look. Prabhupada looked at him for a few seconds. Then Prabhupada said, you are asking this question because you want to offend. you want to offend and just do something just to overcome the reaction. Prabhupada said, but you must not offend. You must stop offending. No more offenses. That's very instructive for all of us. Then, same time, or same darshan, same session, devotee asked Prabhupada a question. Sometimes we call it a what if question. What if there's some special situation? And oftentimes these what if questions, they're about what if there's some very unusual situation. Very unusual, but what if? And then what would you do? So this question was along the lines, what if you are on a desert island and there's only you and some animal and you have eaten all the seaweed that you could reach and there's just nothing else to eat except the animal? So the question, would it be all right to kill and eat the animal? And Srila Prabhupada answered, a devotee would rather die. A devotee would rather die. That's also very instructive. You know, when I got second initiation, 1974, when I got second initiation, there was a group of us, a dozen perhaps. Some were getting first initiation, some of us were getting second. So Srila Prabhupada called us into his room, well, his sort of darshan room, main room in his quarters in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada called us in and Prabhupada asked us, so, is everyone chanting their rounds, 16 rounds every day? Is everyone chanting their rounds? I was chanting my rounds. Everyone was chanting their rounds. But two young girls, means like maybe 18 or 19, maybe 20, just young. But they were full-time devotees living in the temple. They giggled and said, no, Srila Prabhupada, we are not chanting our rounds. And Prabhupada was not happy. Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada did? Srila Prabhupada cancelled the whole initiation for all of us. You can imagine how popular those girls were. Anyway, not to worry too much, about 2 weeks later the initiation did happen and I got second initiation. Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada was a very, very special personality, and he was special in so many, practically every way. When he would speak, it would be special. When he acted, it was special. Like I said, you could just watch him and you'd learn, because his actions are just demonstrations of what is Krishna consciousness. The ways he would manage, organize, it was all very just extraordinary. And Srila Prabhupada, he demonstrated transcendental emotions, transcendental feelings, often. I want to tell you a little story of Srila Prabhupada demonstrating compassion as an emotional personal quality, compassion. This is now in Los Angeles, and you know, I was not there. Srila Prabhupada was there. He spent, I think in 73 or 74, spent maybe 3 months there on end, and was supervising the book production. So one girl joined the temple. She's sort of 20-ish, young girl. And she was a bit of an artist. You know, not too much, but a bit of an artist. And she saw the books and the beautiful paintings in them. And she thought, oh, I'd love to paint paintings for the books. So she approached the devotees in charge. It was one sannyasi, Rameshwar Swami, and one brahmachari. They were in charge of the book production. And she asked, can I paint paintings? And they said, well, why don't you paint a painting? We'll show Srila Prabhupada and we'll see what he thinks about it. And if he likes it, very good, go ahead. So she painted a painting. And in that painting, Krishna looked miserable. Like he'd had a bad day at the office or something. He really didn't look happy. But, you know, this was her painting. So they took her in. She went in with these two, the sannyasi and the brahmachari, into Prabhupada's room and showed Prabhupada the painting. Prabhupada's looking at the painting. And Prabhupada was just shaking his head. You know, he's not pleased. And Prabhupada said, what is this painting? What is this painting? And this young girl said, Srila Prabhupada, this is Krishna feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada said, no. This is not what Krishna looks like when he's feeling separation from Radharani. That separation is the greatest ecstasy, the highest bliss. You have made Krishna look like some mundane young boy who has just lost his girlfriend. So we cannot use this painting. We cannot use it. And this poor girl, she just broke down, crying. And just crying and crying, right there in front of Prabhupada. And the devotees could understand, it's time to go. Time to go. But how do we get this girl out? So one's a sannyasi, the other's a brahmachari. They couldn't really touch her and say, you know, come on, grab her by the arm and let's go. So they're trying to say, you know, somehow get it across, but they couldn't get it across. And she was just sitting there for about a minute, crying, just really crying. And Prabhupada's sitting there looking at her. Then after maybe a minute, Srila Prabhupada said, wait a minute. Just wait. He picked up the painting again. And now instead of like, you know, no. Now Prabhupada's going like this. And Prabhupada said, yes. I have thought about it. We can use this painting. We will call this painting, Krishna Has a Headache. And she went on to become a sort of a famous artist in Prabhupada's movement. One devotee asked Prabhupada, is the spiritual master present in the heart of the disciple? Prabhupada replied, yes, if you let me enter. If you think of me and work for me, then I'm in your heart. If you love somebody, he's in your heart. It is a common thing. Everyone understands it. Yes. The disciple and spiritual master never separated, because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple. As long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. Let me tell you what is, you know, it's a bit of an amazing story. It is really quite amazing. Srila Prabhupada's compassion, broad-mindedness. Srila Prabhupada was being massaged, and I was not present, but we were told this by one devotee who was personally present. So Srila Prabhupada was being massaged, and as he's being massaged, his secretary was reading out the mail that had come in, the letters that had come in. So, and Prabhupada's sitting there, and occasionally he would make some comment, or even just give a little reply. Otherwise he would sit and listen while being massaged. So Srila Prabhupada was being massaged, and the secretary read one letter in which the devotee writer said that Srila Prabhupada, I am having so much difficulty in Krishna consciousness. I'm chanting, I'm following the principles, but then after a little while, somehow I smoke a cigarette. Somehow I just lose control. I smoke a cigarette, and then I smoke for a couple of weeks, and then somehow I pull myself together and I stop. And then I carry on in Krishna consciousness. Then after maybe 2 or 3 weeks, again, somehow, I smoke a cigarette. I just can't stop myself. And I'm so sorry. And then after another couple of weeks, I stop. And then I carry on. But then again, I smoke a cigarette. So like this. And this devotee who told us, who was present, he said he was sitting there listening to this, and he was thinking, what a nonsense. What a rascal. Who is this person? He's not a devotee. What sort of devotee is he? He's not a devotee. He's just a nonsense. So, you know, there was this, you know, like slightly lengthy description the devotee gave in the letter. Prabhupada's just sitting there, no comment at all. And then the secretary finished reading the letter. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's very thoughtful, very pensive, sort of meditative. Silence for some 15 seconds, perhaps. And then Prabhupada said, what a great soul. He's struggling so hard for Krishna, even though he has this very serious problem. But still he's trying his best to serve Krishna. What a great soul. And that devotee, the one who told us, when he heard that, he was just shocked. You know, who am I? Now, don't think, devotees, that now you have just got sort of indirect authorization to smoke cigarettes, because you haven't, okay? But this person, he just couldn't deal with it. Just couldn't deal with it. Even though he was trying and trying. Let me tell you another story. It's kind of related. A little bit related. It's a story about a disciple of Prabhupada named Jayananda. You may have heard of him. He was very famous, very prominent, and highly respected in Prabhupada's time. Unfortunately, he also passed away just before Prabhupada. So, what happened was, there again, another devotee who passed away, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was another extremely, even more prominent devotee. Prabhupada was in America somewhere, and Tamal Krishna Goswami, after Mangal Arati, he wanted to go and see Srila Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was extremely prominent and very close to Prabhupada. And basically, any time he wanted, he could walk in to Prabhupada's room. Anyone else would have to make an appointment or just would not be able to get in. He could just walk in. So he went walking up to the door, he's about to walk in, and Prabhupada's secretary or servant stopped him and said, "No, you can't go in. Jayananda Prabhu is with Srila Prabhupada. They don't want to be disturbed." And Tamal Krishna Goswami, you know, he was not used to being stopped, particularly by a sort of lesser devotee. He said, "Well, what are they doing? And the devotee said, "Srila Prabhupada is giving Jayananda Gayatri mantras," which is, these are mantras you get at the time of second initiation. Now, that might sound fine, but Tamal Krishna Goswami knew that Jayananda Prabhu had received second initiation a few years before, actually at the same time as him, and had received Gayatri mantras then. It may well have been 5, 6, or even 7 years before. So what is this? So when Jayananda came out shortly after, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked him, "You know, what is this? Prabhupada's giving you Gayatri mantras. You got Gayatri at the same time as me." And Jayananda Prabhu said, "Yes, I know. I have such a problem. I keep forgetting the mantras. So every 6 months I go back and see Prabhupada and I get the mantras from him again." And Tamal Krishna Goswami, oh my gosh, he was really not happy. "Now what is this? Oh, get the mantras again. This is ridiculous." Next morning, after Mangal Arati, they're all sitting there in the temple room, Tamal Krishna Goswami, Jayananda Prabhu is there also. And after Mangal Arati, it is common practice in our temples, the second initiated devotees, in many cases, right after Mangal Arati, they chant Gayatri. So they were there chanting Gayatri. It takes 5 minutes, 5 minutes, to chant 7 mantras 10 times each. It takes 5 minutes. Jayananda Prabhu finished in 1 minute. And Tamal Krishna Goswami thought, "This is too much." And he went to Prabhupada and he complained. "This Jayananda, what sort of Brahmin is he? You gave him Gayatri years ago. He forgets the mantras. You have to give them to him again. He's not a Brahmin. What sort of devotee is he?" You know, quite critical. And Prabhupada did not appreciate it at all. Prabhupada said, "Actually, you know, Jayananda Prabhu is so sincere that he could chant anything and Krishna will accept it." Now again, devotees, don't, take that as a justification. You know what I mean? Yes. So, let's see here now. Let us see. You know, Prabhupada sometimes... Well, let me tell you a couple of prasadam stories. You like prasadam, don't you? We'll have some later. Prabhupada took a group of Western disciples. Well, they were his only disciples. He took a group of his disciples, some American, some European, I don't know, 20 or 30 or 25, to India for the first time. None of them had been to India. It's a whole new experience. And this is India, like, I think, 1971. And India, 1971. And India, 2016. Believe me, they were different places. They were just different places. Anyway, he took these devotees and he traveled around India for a while with them. And they went, one place they went, was the temple of one of his godbrothers, a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They went there, and the godbrother of Prabhupada prepared very nice feast for everyone, Prabhupada and the disciples. And Prabhupada took prasadam with the disciples, sitting with them. He took prasadam. And Prabhupada, he didn't eat much. He finished before anyone else. And his servant distributed his remnants. So one devotee got a gulab jamun, which Srila Prabhupada had taken a bite from. And devotees, listen, it was not like one of these gulab jamuns you get in Chatsworth. It looks like a miniature rugby ball. You know what I mean? Do you follow? You know what a rugby ball looks like? Anyway, if you don't know, it's okay. But, you know, sort of pointed at the ends. Yeah. You know what I mean. This was one of the authentic ones. The round ones. Which are very juicy. And, you know, they're really something else. So this devotee now, there's this gulab jamun on his plate. Prabhupada has taken a bite from it. And the devotee's looking at it and thinking, today is my day. Look at this. I have Srila Prabhupada's remnants. Haribol. One other devotee walked by, grabbed the gulab jamun into his mouth, and it was gone. Finished. To the land of no return. And the poor devotee who had been sitting there, you know, it had been put on his plate, he was in a state of shock. How could he do this? It's terrible. It's offensive. And so he went to Prabhupada, who's just sitting right there. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, this devotee, Manohar, he... Anyway, it's okay. You know what he did, Srila Prabhupada? I got your remnants. I got a gulab jamun, which you had taken a bite from. And this devotee, he stole it and ate it. Is very bad. And he was hoping that Prabhupada would say, yes, it is very bad, and call him and say, what are you doing? And chastise him. You must fast for a week. But Prabhupada just laughed. Prabhupada said, oh, he was very intelligent. And then Prabhupada said, actually, in regard to prasadam, there are two types of devotees. One likes to eat prasadam, the other likes to distribute prasadam. Prabhupada said, they are both good, but the one who likes to distribute prasadam is better. You can think about that too. I want to tell you now a story. This is now from Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Some of you, many of you even may know him personally even. And I think an abbreviated version of this story appears in the book he just recently published. This is now an extended version from a time he was giving a class about his experiences with Prabhupada, and he expanded on the story. Prabhupada, in Mumbai, in those days, Bombay, Srila Prabhupada taught Bhakti Charu Maharaj a special type of preparation. I don't know if any of you ladies would know of an alu chachari. Alu chachari. Well, chachari is a style of cooking in which you deliberately slightly burn the whatever the vegetable is. In this case it was potato. You don't burn it, but you sort of toast it. So it's, you know, sticking a little brown. Yeah, but, and then you flip it over. And then you cook it until again it's burning on that side. Little bit. And yeah, this is called chachari. It's a traditional Bharatiya style of cooking. Anyway, Prabhupada taught him how to do this chachari with lots of mustard oil. You know, mustard oil is quite sort of, it's strong tasting. And if you're not used to it, well, it can sort of accelerate your digestive processes quite effectively. So quite a lot of a lot of mustard oil. A lot. And then a lot of red chili, dry red chili, crushed up. A lot of dry red chili. And a lot of turmeric in this case. And he taught or instructed Bhakti Charu Maharaj how to do this. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj did it. And Prabhupada really liked it. He really liked it. Even though it was kind of very oily and very spicy, but Prabhupada liked it. You know, generally Prabhupada didn't like prasadam that was especially spicy, just a sort of moderate, quite moderate amount of chili. But now he liked this. Then shortly after, this was 1977, shortly after Prabhupada became ill, like seriously ill, quite incapacitated. But one morning, he asked Bhakti Charu Maharaj, please, can you do that alu chachari for me again? So Maharaj did. But Maharaj thought that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is sick. And if he has so much mustard oil and so much chili, particularly, then, you know, it's not going to be good for him. So he put quite a bit of mustard oil, not as much, but quite a bit, and much less chili. And Prabhupada took one mouthful and stopped and called him. What is this? What are you trying to do to me? And Prabhupada explained that, look, the chili offsets the oil. Yes. It counteracts the effect of the oil. Now, if you want me to eat this with so much mustard oil without enough chili, it'll definitely make me sick. And Prabhupada really got upset with him. You can ask Maharaj next time you see him. But Prabhupada really got upset with him. And then, whenever, for like a few days, whenever Prabhupada would see Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he said to him, why did you do that? Why did you, every time? And Bhakti Charu Maharaj didn't want to go in and see him, because each time it was, why did you do this? I personally instructed you. And sometimes when guests would come in, and Bhakti Charu Maharaj was there, Prabhupada would say, you see him? Do you know what he did? Oh. But after a few days, Bhakti Charu Maharaj explained why he did it. And then Prabhupada said, well, why didn't you tell me? And Bhakti Charu Maharaj just sort of, you were disturbed. So that's an interesting little story. Let me tell you another prasadam story. Let's see now. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi, New Delhi. And in those days, now we have big temple, and actually we have several substantial temples in Delhi, different parts of Delhi. In those days, we had a flat in a block of flats, and the temple room was, say, one third the size of our existing temple room here, or smaller even. It was just a typical little Indian flat room. The whole thing was small. So anyway, the temple president, his name was Tejas Prabhu. Very nice devotee. And one day, Srila Prabhupada asked him, can you cook upma? You know what upma is? Upma, U-P-M-A. It's sort of like suji halava, but it's spicy with vegetables and so on. But a lot of semolina. Right. So do you know how to make upma? And Tejas, who's a very conservative person, he said, somewhat, Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, my cook is sick. Can you please cook upma for me for lunch? So Tejas Prabhu, he sort of knew how to make kind of middle class upma, just fairly ordinary. So he went around the corner was a super duper, like 7-star vegetarian restaurant, traditional Piaj Ne. What do they say? Lasur, is it? Lasur Ne, yeah. Traditional, real, should, Vaishnav, Shakahari restaurant. He went and met with the head cook, who was, a man with like 50 years experience. And he got this recipe for upma from the heavenly planets. Oh yeah. Upma like you wouldn't believe. So he cooked it and he served Srila Prabhupada. Like I said, generally Srila Prabhupada would not eat a lot. This time, he ate the whole plate of upma. And he asked, is there more? Tejas Prabhu brought another, fairly solid plate of upma. Prabhupada ate it all. And Prabhupada asked, is there more? Prabhupada then got a third helping. He ate all the upma there was, the whole lot. It was like very much out of character. The next morning, Prabhupada did not get up as early as usual. He got up, but later. And then he went on his morning walk, but he was walking slowly. Normally he would walk at a brisk speed. Today he's walking slowly. So he walked a bit, and there's, you know, several senior devotees, sannyasis, one or two or a few GBCs, and Tejas Prabhu, who was the temple president. Fellow's walking and he stopped. And he turned to the devotees, not to Tejas, but to some of the other devotees. And Prabhupada said, that devotee who cooked the upma for me, he tried to kill me. Everyone was just shocked. And everyone just looked at Tejas. And Tejas practically melted down. And Prabhupada said, yes. He made that upma. It was so nice. I ate too much. And this morning my stomach is a little upset. Let me, now, I don't know how long we should go on, but a little further?
No.
Huh?
I will stop.
Yeah. Actually, we'll go on a little further. I have to. And then we'll stop. It's okay. Rules are made for being broken. I want to tell you a joke told by Srila Prabhupada. Okay? This is a joke told by Srila Prabhupada about prasadam. It is slightly X-rated in a sense, but it was told by Srila Prabhupada. One devotee, one evening, well, there was a special festival day. Late at night, they had a big feast, but a really big feast. And this particular devotee, he ate plenty of prasadam. He had been fasting the whole day. He really made up for it by eating plenty. And the last thing he ate was one of those gulab jamuns I mentioned earlier. You know, big, sort of golden brown, effulgent, glowing. You just look at it and the sugar syrup sort of oozes out. That type of gulab jamun. And he ate that. And that was it. He just went and slept immediately. He's just wiped out. Too much prasadam. Next morning, he woke up. Oh! Straight to the toilet! Ah! And he passed stool. Whew, just made it. All from the big feast the night before. Just made it. And he turned around, and don't forget Prabhupada told the story, and he looked at the stall, and he said, look at you. Speaking to the stall, look at you. You are horrible. You are just horrible. And you smell so bad. You're terrible. And Prabhupada said, the stall replied. And you know what the stool said? The stool said, listen, don't talk about me like that. Don't say things like that about me. The stool said, last night I was that gulab jamun. But after just one night's association with you, look what happened to me. many, many other stories to have. Our leader has ordered us. So, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Go Premanande!
Jai!